Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you gave us through your Spirit and because of the life and ministry of your Son. We thank you, Lord, that your word always points to your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we pray that as we look at this section, that it will encourage us not to look at ourselves or our circumstances, but look at who we are in Jesus and delight in his victory for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Secrets. Secrets are things you shouldn't tell other people, especially when people tell you secrets. Sometimes in ministry, people share things with me that I can't share with others. Sometimes those things have a time limit, and after that time limit, the people that told me the secret actually tell everybody else because it's their secret. Recently, I rang one of the guys from church to find out how his wife was. She had not been well, been unwell for quite a long time. So I rang up and the conversation got a bit awkward and I said, oh, look, you know, you don't have to tell me anything. And eventually said, well, she's pregnant. I went, oh, okay, well, that's good. So I hung up. Next minute, a text came saying, don't tell anybody because we want to announce it ourselves. And fine. The funny thing that happened was that happened to me twice in a month. When both blokes told me not to say anything, but they told me a little secret. Other times, people share things that, of course, I can't share and I will never share because they've actually shared with me something in confidence. I don't even tell Anna things and she doesn't even want to know, which is good. So some things need to stay hidden for some very good reasons. The Apostle Paul has been commissioned to reveal something that has been hidden, and that is God's grand plan for the world in Christ. And in this section, he calls it the mystery. He has already given us a big picture of God's plan, reaching all the way back into eternity, when he told us that God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. He's also stated that through Christ, the wall of hostility that divided the world into Jew and Gentiles have been smashed by Christ. As he said in Ephesians 2:14, Christ has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So because of God's grace in Christ, everything has been changed. And everyone who turns to Christ in faith has been changed. All because the mystery of God's plan has now been revealed by the apostles and prophets. So we're going to look at that mystery in verses 1 to 7. Now, chapter 3, verse 1 is a little bit awkward because we may not notice it, but Paul is reminding his readers that he is in prison. And actually, he's about to pray for them. You may notice that it actually abruptly stops at verse 1. When he simply says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And then suddenly he goes into verse 2, surely you have heard. He actually picks up where he left off in verse 14 of chapter 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. So why does he suddenly digress? Why does he interrupt his flow when he wants to pray for God's people? He's doing so because he wants to emphasize that his ministry to the Gentiles has been given to him by God with a very specific purpose. Look at verses 2 and 3. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. So Paul's role in God's grand plan was to reveal the revelation that was kept secret, but now needs to be revealed, and Paul is the one that's going to reveal it, or has been revealing it, both in word, but also in writing. Because he's mentioned already that he's written it briefly. It may be what we've already previously read in Ephesians, or he may be referring to other things. He's also called it now the mystery. Now, we need to realise that this is not the mystery that some of you may read mystery novels. I don't know if you enjoy mystery books, working out a puzzle. This is not that sort of mystery. It is like a secret, as Paul says, that was once hidden but now has been made known. It's been made known as Paul's spoken and as he has written. And where has he written this mystery? He's written in the New Testament, in his letters. So as you read and as you reread the Bible with the purpose of understanding Paul, with understanding the other apostles and the prophets, you are growing in your understanding of the implication of the gospel in your life. Look at verse 4 and 5. In reading this, so Paul assumes we're going to be reading what he's written, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, and it has been revealed by God, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. In my first year of Bible college, that was last century in 1995, my first year, there was a graduation at the end of the year, it always happens, and this sticks in my mind. The graduation was being held at Hurstville Presbyterian Church, and that night we had an Anglican bishop address us. His name was Dudley Ford, who's now with the Lord. There is one thing that Bishop Ford said to me that has stuck with me to this day. Of course, he's talking to theological students. He's talking to guys who are graduating, about to go out into the ministry. And he said this: gentlemen, there are many good books to read. You will be tempted to read many books, but you must always make time to read only one book above all others, and that is the Bible. And he wasn't wrong, because you see, there is a temptation in ministry to read lots of books. You may be one of those Christians that just loves reading books, learning about the theology of Paul and the theology of Peter, reading books. But unless you're actually reading your Bible, you will never grow in your understanding of the mystery of Christ. You see, reading books about the theology of the Apostle Paul are useless unless you're actually reading the Apostle Paul. That's what Paul has been saying. In reading this, in verse 4, then you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Paul. Why read someone's idea about what Paul's insight is when you can read Paul himself? So Paul encourages us, read the writings of the apostles and prophets, because God's revelation has been revealed to them by the Spirit for us. Now, Paul in verse 6 tells us what this mystery is, this secret that was hidden, but has now been revealed. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So what was so mysterious about this, you might ask, the Jews and Gentiles? Because the Jews did understand that the Gentiles, in one way, would be blessed with Israel. They had a sort of a connection there. They go back to Abraham. God promised that through Abraham, all the peoples of the world would be blessed. They read their Bibles. They read Isaiah, that God's blessing would reach the Gentiles. When in Isaiah chapter 49 verse 6 it says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. They read the book of Psalms. Psalm 117 verse 1 says, praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you people. The Jews understood that the Gentiles would benefit through Israel, but only if they became part of Israel through the law. If not, they would end up serving Israel, because Isaiah chapter 60 says, for the nations or kingdoms that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined. So Israel understood that they had the top sort of position, and the Gentiles maybe were far down the scale. So the mystery that has been revealed is that Israel is now made up of Jews and Gentiles who embrace Jesus Christ as the Messiah. That's what was hidden. This mystery, Paul says in verse 6, is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I hope you notice that emphasis. The Gentiles are heirs together, members together, sharers together with the Jews. So the Israel of the Old Testament, all the promises in relation to Israel, is the Israel that now has faith in Jesus Christ. But I hope you noticed in verse 6 that it is through the gospel, the proclaiming of Jesus Christ, that we Gentiles, unless there's a Jew here, I'm not sure if there is anyone who has Jewish heritage, but we Gentiles become heirs together with Israel, members together of the one body of Christ, and sharers together of the promised blessing, all because we have been joined to Christ through faith. When a refugee or a migrant becomes an Australian citizen, and my parents became Australian citizens about 20 years ago. It took them a long time before they decided to take that. But once you become an Australian citizen, all the rights and privileges of being an Australian are yours. You're actually acknowledged as an Australian citizen, equal to all Australian citizens naturally born. So faith in Christ places everyone on an equal footing before God and in the church. So no group, no person, minister, elder, anybody else is superior or better than another person. Faith in Christ places everyone on an equal footing before God and in the church. And all this is achieved as we proclaim the gospel. And that is our task if we happen to be preachers. And that is our task as a church. The gospel declares God's grace to humanity. God's grace displayed for us in the death and resurrection of his Son. And it is the means whereby God achieves his grand plan of creating one new humanity in Christ. It is the gospel that draws men, women, young people and children to God. If we lose sight of proclaiming the gospel as our priority, then we are no longer participating in God's grand plan. We may be doing lots of good stuff. But if we lose sight of proclaiming the gospel as our priority, then we are no longer participating in God's grand plan. And for Paul, and for us, I hope, it is a privilege, both to be the one who preaches Lord's Day by Lord's Day the gospel, but also for those who follow Christ to promote, proclaim and share the gospel with neighbours and friends and work colleagues. And Paul tells us how he feels about being given that particular privilege in verses 8 to 13. Recently, Dr. Alan Finkel was appointed Australia's chief scientist. Now, you might wonder, what does a chief scientist actually do? I did. Well, he provides high-level, independent advice to the Prime Minister and other ministers on matters relating to science, technology and innovation. He is an advocate for Australian science to the world and coordinates scientific thinking across the states and territories. Then I like this bit. He champions science, research and the role of evidence in the community and in the government. And he's the person who tells people like me, non-scientific guy, what science is all about, with the aim of promoting the understanding of the all about science with the aim of promoting the understanding of contribution to, and I love this word, enjoyment of science and evidence-based thinking. So, to dumb it down for me, he makes science interesting, desirable and fun. And Paul has been appointed, not as chief scientist, but he's been appointed as a servant to the gospel. Look at verse 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Paul reminds us that for us who are in full-time ministry, it is a privilege which can only be done in and through the power of God and which leads to humility. But for all of us who follow Christ, it is a reminder too that even as we share the gospel, it can only be done in and through the power of God. And that should also lead us to humility. But there is a danger for those who are in full-time ministry, that we lose our focus on the gospel. We start focusing on ourselves. It's not about a person's intellectual ability or their communication skills, as useful as they can be. It's about a dependency on God's grace for the ministry task of preaching and pointing people to Christ and the gospel. And that's a good reminder to me. If we're focusing on Christ, we don't focus on our own inadequacies. We focus on God's grace in supplying what we need. So in verse 8, he reminds them again, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. It is a privilege to preach Christ, to present Christ to friends and neighbours. It is a privilege to present the beauty of Christ. It is a privilege to present the glory of Christ so that people can come to see how wonderful Jesus Christ is. And I love the way that Paul describes the riches of Christ here. They're boundless. It can also be translated as unfathomable, unsearchable, unending. And it's here that I've got to make a confession. I've got a bit of a phobia when it comes to water. And I'm not talking about when I'm in the bathtub. But I have to see the bottom when I'm in the sea or in a particular body of water. And if I cannot see the bottom, I get really concerned about what's underneath me. I was once at Jervis Bay, which is a beautiful bay, crystal clear. There I was going out, and underneath me was all these weeds. Just all these weeds, and I was wondering, what's in those weeds? And it took me 5 minutes to get out of the water. So I do have a problem when I cannot see the bottom. However, when it comes to the gospel, Paul is saying there is no bottom, and that doesn't create fear in me or uncertainty, but creates a sense of adventure and discovery. Because as we dig deep into the gospel, we gain insight into the mystery of Christ's love for us. You see, Christian, you never reach the bottom of the gospel. Christian, you never move on from the gospel. You just keep going deeper and deeper and understanding its implications more and more, and transforms your life. The gospel, to quote an old hymn, is new every morning if we dig deep into it. And as Dr. Finkel's aim was to make science clear, for guys like me, Paul's aim and our aim is to make the gospel clear. Look at verse 9. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. We are to bring out the truth of the gospel, the implications of the gospel. We are to do it as clearly and as simply as we can. It's all about presenting and preaching Christ, not about displaying our rhetorical skills, our exegetical skills, or our knowledge, as useful as they should be. They are the servants of the gospel. What we want to promote is Jesus. And that's the privilege of every Christian, which is a greater privilege than being named Australia's chief scientist. And all this is to bring Jew and Gentile together, to bring people from Burma and Korea and Lebanon and Italy and Africa and China and Syria, from all the four corners of the earth, together in Jesus. And the gospel does that. That's the mystery that was hidden. Every single person on this planet, no matter where they're from, once they enter into relationship with Christ, we are one with Christ and with one another. And why does God do this? He wants to put the church on display. Look at verse 10 and 11. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whatever you might think about the church is on display. Now, it displays God's wisdom, and Paul talks about the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Lots of Lots of stuff has been written about that. But look, I think when Paul talks about the heavenly realm, he's not talking about earthly rulers or earthly principalities. He's talking about the spiritual rulers and authorities, both, I believe, angelic and demonic. Because God's wisdom is displayed in two ways to those two groups. For the angelic host, they praise God for his wisdom. They are amazed how people from different backgrounds are brought together in Christ. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter tells us in his first letter that the angels long to look into these things. And for the demonic host, well, they see in the church that their plans have been frustrated and foiled. They thought they had won in crucifying Jesus Christ. But the death of Christ was the very means that God had appointed from all eternity to bring about his grand plan. So the church reminds them they've already lost. The church reminds them that they cannot stop the progress of the gospel. God's grand plan will be achieved. So the church actively proclaims the gospel to the world and passively proclaims the gospel to the spiritual beings in the heavenly realms. They are amazed at us because of God's grace. You may not be amazed at us, but they are. So because of Christ, nothing, therefore, can stop us from approaching God. Because of Christ, we are now free from the rule of the kingdom of the air. And because of Christ, all our sins, past, present, and future, have been dealt with. So we can walk into God's presence with confidence, not in ourselves, not in our righteousness, but in Christ's righteousness. Look at verse 12. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. All this is ours because of Christ. All this is yours through Christ. And it is only through faith in Christ that this can be yours. So if you want this, if you want to be part of this tonight, then you need to turn to Christ and Christ alone. Therefore, Paul encourages his readers and us not to be discouraged. Because we may look weak, we may look defenseless. The Apostle Paul's in prison. But in Christ, we are strong and we are victorious. You see, Paul wants to encourage us not to allow our external circumstances to shape our understanding of ourselves and what the church is. We need to understand ourselves and the church in light of who Christ is and what he's done. Paul doesn't ignore his circumstances. They're real. He's in prison. But he knew that his ultimate destiny was not to be there. He knew that through Christ, he was sitting in the heavenly places with Christ. Christ defined who he was, and Christ controlled what was happening to him. He suffered for the very truth that he's proclaiming here, the gospel, that Jews and Gentiles are accepted only through faith in Christ. He was willing to do that. Look at verse 13. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged in light of all that I have said because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. By Paul being in prison, he was showing his commitment to the gospel and the Gentiles. It would have been discouraging for them if Paul had not been willing to go to prison for them. So Paul brings forward a wonderful grand plan of God, all achieved through the proclamation of the gospel. So yes, some secrets are meant to be hidden, like when people are pregnant and they want to announce it themselves. Some secrets may never be revealed. But God's mystery, God's secret, was always meant to be revealed. It is our privilege as Christians, our privilege if we're ministers of the gospel, it is our privilege as a church to reveal God's grand plan through the gospel, proclaiming its implications to everyone and for everyone as clearly as we can. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Paul extolling his ministry, which reminds us of our ministry. If our ministry is focused upon the gospel, then we share in this ministry. Help us, Lord, as a church. Help us, Lord, as ministers, as elders, as Sunday school teachers, as youth group leaders, to always have our clear focus upon the gospel, proclaiming Jesus, because it is only through Jesus that you will build your church. It is only through the gospel that people from different backgrounds become one in him. And we praise you that you are doing this, even if it doesn't look like it. Your church displays your wisdom, even if it looks weak, even if it looks insignificant. Help us to look to where Christ is at your right hand. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.